Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, July 22nd, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Regional politicians react to Biden withdrawal. Project 2025's anti-education agenda reflects strategies tried in Idaho. Clearwater Paper sold to Sofidel SPA. And Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission votes to keep wolves under state endangered species protection. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Paper and tissue giant Sofidel America Corporation is purchasing Spokane-based Clearwater Paper for $1.06 billion. Clearwater Paper's largest manufacturing complex is in Lewiston, where it employs 1,300 people. Clearwater Paper makes toilet paper, paper towels, paper napkins, and facial tissue, as well as paperboard that's used for packaging and paper dishware. Sofidel America Corporation is a subsidiary of Sofidel SPA. According to the Lewiston Tribune, Sofidel CEO Luigi Lazzareschi said, "The acquisition of Clearwater Paper's tissue business is another important milestone on our path to meet the growing demand for our products in the United States. We look forward to welcoming all the new employees into our family and integrating the tissue business into our network to strengthen our growth by achieving scale and expanding our ability to deliver sustainable, energy-efficient products to customers." Sofidel purchased the Georgia-based paperboard manufacturer Graphic Packaging earlier this year for $700 million. Under that deal, Clearwater Paper took over Graphic Packaging's bleached paperboard factory in Augusta, Georgia. Clearwater Paper owns 14 manufacturing facilities nationwide. According to the Spokesman Review, Clearwater Paper President and CEO Arson Kitch said, "We are pleased to have reached this agreement with Sofidel, which we believe positions Clearwater Paper for its next chapter of growth and value creation. We look forward to delivering innovative and sustainable products to our converter customers while generating strong returns for our shareholders." Kitch said the sale of the company will help Clearwater Paper diversify its paperboard business. He said, "Our tissue business has delivered excellent financial and operational performance, supported by outstanding service. We believe this business needs scale and investment to drive growth over the longer term, and we are excited to watch its continued progress as part of Sofidel. We appreciate the dedication of our talented team members across the organization who have been instrumental to the successful execution of our strategy." The Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission voted Friday against a proposal to take wolves off the state's endangered species list. The votes on two measures related to taking wolves off the state's list were 5-4 against. If approved, the status of wolves would have been downgraded to sensitive. Commissioners said there were uncertainties in the population data. They also said the state had not met wolf recovery objectives. Governor Jay Inslee had sent a letter to the commission asking them to keep wolves on the state endangered species list. Because of the vote, poaching and unlawful kill laws will continue to be enforced at the highest level in Washington. If the commission had downgraded to sensitive species status, it would have reduced penalties for illegally killing a wolf and given the Washington Fish and Wildlife Department more flexibility in authorizing landowners to kill wolves who attack livestock. The state listing covers the entire state, while federal endangered species protection for wolves in Washington only applies to the western two-thirds of the state and does not apply in the eastern part. Earlier this month, a wildlife advocate warned the state's wolf count was implausibly high, mainly because of numbers that the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation supplied to the state. State records say the number of wolves in Washington increased by 44 last year, which would have been the largest annual increase in state history. That follows a 2022 report that showed a 5% increase in wolves statewide, which is below what conservation groups say is usual for a recovering wolf population. Washington Wildlife First Treasurer David Lynn told the Washington State Standard the numbers for 2023 did not pass the smell test and were implausibly high. Lynn said the numbers the Colville tribes provided account for the largest increase in population numbers. Retired biologist and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service wolf specialist Carter Niemeyer told the Washington State Standard earlier in the month, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife should require a spreadsheet, quote, detailing how many flights, how many radio collars put out, how many trail cameras, and the methodologies with coming up with those numbers, because they do sound exceptional for that area. Washington Governor Jay Inslee has recommended tightened spending in his last budget proposal due to increasing demand for public services and rising costs. Governor Inslee has instructed state agencies not to ask for money for new programs or expansion of existing ones. Inslee's budget director, David Schumacher, wrote to agency leaders last month saying tax collections will likely support the maintenance of current programs but not growth. Schumacher wrote, any funding request should focus on continuing programs and only address caseload increases, quote, while not expanding existing programs and services. Three initiatives on the November ballot increased budget uncertainty because they threatened to cut off funding for projects. Schumacher told state agencies passage of those initiatives could negatively impact dollars that are collected, fund entitlement, and other programs and services. The June 3rd letter concerns funding requests state agencies hope Inslee will include in his proposed operating capital and transportation budgets for the 2025 to 2027 biennium. Requests are due September 10th. The outgoing governor will reveal his spending plans in December. The budgets will be the last of the Democratic governor's three-term tenure and will serve as a starting point for lawmakers and the next governor, who will be tasked with drafting and passing new budgets in 2025. The region's heat wave will be subsiding somewhat as the excessive heat warning expires tonight for eastern and central Washington and northern and north central Idaho. Yesterday was the hottest day so far, with a high of 111 in Lewiston and 101 here on the Palouse. According to National Weather Service data, the last time the temperature was higher in the Moscow-Pullman area was July 31st, 2021, when the temperature reached 104. Firefighters worked through the heat yesterday on the region's two major fires, the Texas Fire northeast of Kendrick in rural Latah County and the Cougar Creek Fire in southern Asotin County. An incident report on the InciWeb website says the Texas Fire 2 miles east of Kendrick in Latah County was 70% contained as of this afternoon, as it burned in timber with grass and understory and brush. The fire, which has burned 1,575 acres, is described as minimal, creeping, and smoldering. The report says on Saturday, crews and equipment worked from the fire's edge further into the interior, applying water with engines, portable water bags, and hand pumps, and installing hose and sprinkler systems to extinguish any remaining heat. Helicopters assisted firefighters on the ground with bucket drops to cool down areas of hot, brushy fuels to allow them to safely engage on mop-up efforts. There are 190 ground crew members working the fire who were continuing to search for hot spots, focusing within 100 feet of the fire perimeter. The Cougar Creek Fire in southern Asotin County near the Oregon state line had burned 8,271 acres as of 8:30 p.m. Sunday and was 23% contained. The fire is burning in steep terrain on the north slopes of the Grand Ronde River Canyon and mainly heading southeast. The fire was burning primarily in grass at lower elevations and making uphill runs into dense timber and brush stands. The incident report on the NC Web website says the primary carrier of the fire in timber stands is downed and dead woody material, needle litter, and brush. There are 441 people fighting the Cougar Creek fire, and the expected containment date is August 1st. Crews are expected to implement a fire line on Middle Ridge and assess for opportunities for a direct line to the north and west.
Programming on KRFP is brought to you in part by One World Cafe, specializing in craft coffee, fresh baked pastries, artisan sandwiches, weekend brunch, wine, beer, and cider on tap. One World Cafe has a web calendar for upcoming live events and a campus location in the Janssen Engineering Building.
KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including peace and human rights.
Don't touch that dial. You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night, so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You can listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio. Radio,
you got it right.
Community radio.
Listen,
give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight Back Radio.
It's 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight Back.
Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight Back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Fight
Back.
Regional Democrats support President Joe Biden's decision to stand down from the Democratic Party's nomination for the 2024 presidential election. Yesterday, Biden posted a letter addressed to the American people stating it is in the best interest of the Democratic Party and the country for him to pull out of the presidential race. In another post later in the day, President Biden said he endorses Vice President Kamala Harris for the top of the party's ticket. State Representative Marcus Richelli of Spokane called Biden's decision patriotic. Richelli said he's heard from several undecided voters who are not supportive of either Biden or Republican nominee former President Donald Trump. Richelli said public polling throughout this campaign has been, for a lot of folks in the middle, a lot of indecision. He said a new Democrat candidate could bring new energy and give voters a fresh voice. Richelli's list of prospective replacements for President Joe Biden include Vice President Kamala Harris, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and California Governor Gavin Newsom. He said he supports a process for delegates to select a new candidate so they can test all those who are interested. Richelli said, "This is a historic decision, and I think if you are the right candidate, you will rise to the top regardless. You need to put your qualifications and record out there, and people should coalesce around you." Former State Representative George Orr, the last Democrat elected to represent Spokane Valley, was frustrated at the discovery of President Biden's decision, but willing to accept the news. Orr told the Spokesman Review Biden's extensive policymaking experience and his competency in contrast to Trump made him the better equipped nominee. Orr said he respects Biden's decision, but he does not support it because he did not want him to drop out. Orr is supportive of Harris as the new nominee. He said if the president died, she would take over. That's the trust we put in her when we voted for that union of the two of them. Democratic candidates running in eastern Washington welcomed the news from Biden. Fifth District Congressional candidate Bernadine Bank said, "I think that President Biden is incredibly courageous for having come to that decision, and he has been just an amazing hero for our country throughout his entire career." Bank said she supports Harris to be the new nominee and thinks she can beat Trump in November. She said she's an incredibly strong candidate. She has a lot of experience, and she has the smarts, the energy, and the expertise to keep moving the country forward. Another 5th District congressional candidate, Carmela Conroy, thanked Biden for his years of service to the country. Conroy is a former diplomat who was Spokane County Democratic Party chair before running for Congress. Earlier this month, She suggested Biden consider dropping out of the race. At the time, Conroy said in a statement, both parties have to think long and hard about who is best suited to serve as the commander-in-chief and lead our government of, by, and for the people. Democratic congressional candidate Anne Marie Danimas held out last week for Biden to remain in the race. On Sunday, Danimas said Biden made the right decision. She said, with over 50 years in office, he has proudly served our nation. He was one of our youngest senators, and he is our oldest president, and I have the highest amount of respect for him and this decision to step down, and I will heartily support whoever the Democratic nominee is for president. Our president supports Kamala Harris. I think she has the experience, strength, and intelligence to do the job well. A local political expert says Kamala Harris is the most likely to take the Democratic nomination this summer. Washington State University Thomas S. Foley Institute for Public Policy Director Cornell Clayton told the Spokesman Review Democratic voters may want to see someone other than Harris for a more open process, but there are very few, if any, serious contenders who would try to challenge her at this point. Clayton said, if the Democratic Party nominates someone other than Harris, it will make the party more disorganized and will hurt their election chances in November. Because Harris is officially Biden's vice presidential selection already, Clayton said all campaign donations to Biden can automatically go to Harris. In the first sentence of the 44-page Project 2025 chapter on education, Heritage Foundation Center for Education Policy Director Lindsay M. Burke writes, "Federal education policy should be limited and ultimately the Federal Department of Education should be eliminated." The Republican Party national platform mimics the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 plans for education point for point, using less words, and endorses many ideas tried in the far-right-leaning Idaho legislature in the past 2 years. A rundown provided in a column by Kevin Rickard in the Idaho Education News gives examples. The Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 endorses education savings accounts, which is one of the right-wing proposals to move taxpayers' money to private K-12 schools. In Idaho's case, lawmakers are intent on using taxpayer money for religious schools as well as other private schools. The Project 2025 outline says education savings accounts are a way to help parents of children with special needs. According to the Idaho Education News, Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield is open to the idea of dismantling the U.S. Department of Education. The quote from Critchfield is, "Education savings accounts were originally conceived as a means of supporting students who have special needs. We have seen the expansion of that scope since the beginning." The Project 2025 plan also mimics a bigoted law the Idaho legislature passed this year, saying no school employee should be forced to use a student's preferred pronoun if the request runs counter to the employee's religious or moral convictions. The 2024 law Governor Brad Little signed says as much, but adds without permission from the parent or guardian. Project 2025 also portrays the Biden administration's plan to expand Title IX protections to LGBTQ students as if it's a bad thing. Far-right Idaho legislators have targeted gay and trans students' rights, and Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador recently joined with other Republican states in a lawsuit against the Biden administration in an attempt to get Trump-appointed judges to block the Title IX move. Project 2025 also says Congress should pass a law blocking student loan forgiveness programs. The Heritage Foundation report says the Biden administration has mercilessly pillaged the student loan portfolio for crass political purposes without regard to the needs of current taxpayers or future students. This must never happen again. The Idaho Education News commentary points out a contradiction in the Republican Party national platform, where it says on one page the party wants universal school choice in every state in America, and on another page it says we are going to close the Department of Education in Washington, D.C. and send it back to the states where it belongs and let the states run our educational system as it should be run. While the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 implies dismantling the Department of Education is the cure for many ills, there is not a big push for it from Idaho Republicans. U.S. Representative Russ Fulcher of Idaho said he wants to eliminate the Department of Education. He said that when he ran for Congress for the first time in 2018. But U.S. Senator Jim Risch, Representative Mike Simpson of Idaho's 1st Congressional District, and Governor Brad Little have not responded to requests for comment from the Idaho Education News in the last week. And U.S. Senator Mike Crapo's spokesperson Marissa Morrison said of Project 2025, "This is not a piece of legislation or proposal in Congress. Senator Crapo does not comment on independent proposals." Republican Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield offered apparent nuanced support for eliminating the Education Department. She said in a statement Wednesday, "2 years ago, I would have said that a dissolution of the department was too drastic a step. Now, after being in office for the last 18 months, it's clear to me that major changes are needed at the federal level, which might include dissolving the agency entirely. I also welcome the idea of block grants in lieu of the current system." That a statement from Idaho Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield last week. Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrain wrote to the Idaho Legislative Council July 3rd with a prediction that implementing ranked choice voting, if passed by voters in November, would cost the state $25 to $40 million. McGrain says the money would be needed for the development of new tabulation software in line with Idaho election regulations and a public education initiative on how the new voting system works. McGrain said he researched the cost of implementing ranked choice voting in other states that have it, Maine and Alaska. McGrain said he is withholding his opinion on open primaries. Open primaries would allow all Idaho voters to participate in political parties' primaries regardless of party affiliation. If voters pass the initiative in November, all voters, whether they are associated with a party or not, will have the right to vote in all primary elections in the state, with the top four vote-getters advancing to the general election, which would be decided by ranked choice voting. Idahoans for Open Primary spokesperson Luke Mayville says McGrain's predicted costs are overstated because McGrain would prefer the new software is certified by the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission. Mayville said no policy exists that mandates Elections Assistance Commission certification, and it is only the state department's preference. Mayville said RCTAB, a lower-cost nonprofit ranked choice tabulation software, is sufficient for implementing the initiative. Regarding the cost of educating the Idaho population on the implications of ranked choice voting and open primaries, Alaska Division of Elections Director Carol Beecher said the cost of their program was $3 million. Mayville said he believes the cost of implementing open primaries and ranked choice voting is worth the cost, even with the large amount McGrain put forward. He said it would likely cost far less, and the result on Idaho politics will speak for itself.
Idaho is accepting proposals for projects that improve confined animal feeding operations in the state. The operations, also known as CAFOs, can cause pollution in a variety of ways for water, soil, and air nearby. Marianne Nelson is the Surface and Wastewater Division Administrator for the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality. She says the state's grant program seeks to mitigate the potential environmental harm CAFOs can cause.
We are concerned about anything that comes off that production facility that's going to contaminate nearby surface water or groundwater that could potentially then move into nearby surface waters.
Excessive nutrition runoff from the animal feeding operations are also a concern. The Idaho DEQ is accepting proposals for grants until August 30th. The grant program has funded 35 projects in the past 2 years, including $5 million to 14 applicants in 2023. This year, DEQ has $2 million to support the selected proposals. Nelson says the DEQ is looking for ways these projects can manage animal waste.
We are looking to do any kind of project that would help improve the way in which that manure management process is done.
Nelson says her agency is also considering the ancillary benefits and applications as well.
So if they're proposing to do something that reduces odor coming off their lagoon, we would consider that an air quality benefit as well as a manure management benefit.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. Areas of smoke tonight between 7 and 9 p.m. Widespread haze before midnight. Mostly clear otherwise, low 55. West winds 5 to 15, gusts up to 20. Mostly clear Tuesday through Wednesday, high 87 tomorrow. Low 55 Tuesday night, high 90 on Wednesday. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight Wednesday night. Mostly clear, low 54. And mostly clear Thursday and Friday. Highs 80 on Thursday and Friday. Low 48 Thursday night. Current temperature is 91 degrees. The National Weather Service has a hazardous heat advisory or a hazardous heat warning in effect until 8 p.m. tonight for eastern and central Washington and northern and north central Idaho. The Washington Department of Ecology and Idaho Department of Environmental Quality Air Monitoring Systems report the air quality at this hour in north central Idaho and eastern Washington is moderate. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can also adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by C.F. Morrison Guitars at 130 North Grand Avenue in Pullman, providing lessons, repairs, and handmade acoustic and classical guitars. Open Wednesday and Saturday afternoons. Details at cfmorrisonguitars.com. KRFP thanks its donors and sponsors.